The maturing Christian does not give up. He does not give in. His Christianity is like the steady shining of a star.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Every one of us should be deeply committed to living the kind of life which honors God. We've seen already in our study the possibility of such a life. Now, what do you see in verses 5 to 7? We're going to look. We look at the possibility of such a life. In verses 5 to 7, we look at the properties of such a life. What are the properties? What are the marks of the life that is pleasing to God, that honors God, and that brings glory to God? As I look at verses 5, 6, and 7, I see really two things. The first thing I see is the demand. Something is required of us. And beside this, giving all diligence, add. Now, that's a demand. That's an imperative. There's something required of us as Christians. And then the second thing I see is the actual development. First the demand, and then the development. We have outlined for us from the pen of the Apostle Peter the very precise development of the properties or marks of the life which is honoring and pleasing to God in verses 5, 6, and 7. Now, do you notice, first of all, the demand? He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add. Actually, as I see that phrase, I want to reduce it even a little further. Giving all diligence, add. In those four words, I think there are two important concepts. Number one, there's the concept of great effort. Here's the demand, the requirement that's imposed upon us. There's the concept of great effort, giving all diligence. And then there's secondly the concept of great cost, add. And it's amazing how powerful the Greek word behind that little three-letter English word is, add. Epikoregein is the word. So first he brings this demand. Then he brings the development of thought. And he says that there are actually eight properties of the lavishly equipped Christian life that we ought to integrate into our experience. Do you see them there? He says, one, I want you to add to your faith, and faith is the first one. I want you to add to your faith virtue, and a virtue knowledge, and a knowledge temperance, and a temperance patience, and a patience godliness, and a godliness brotherly kindness, and a brotherly kindness love. Eight virtues, or eight qualities, eight marks, or eight properties of the kind of life that honors God. I wonder if we can look at them quickly. Peter says, number one, there's faith, that's salvation. He says, number two, there's virtue, that's separation. He says, number three, there's knowledge, that's sound judgment. It's exactly what the word means, gnosis, sound judgment. There's temperance, that's self-control. Number five, there's patience, that's steadfastness. Then number six, there's godliness, that's sanctity or sacredness. Number seven, there's brotherly kindness, that's sensitivity to the needs of those around us, particularly our brothers. And number eight, there's love, that's sacrifice in the ultimate sense of the term. Now, if we could look at those for just a moment. First of all, Peter says there is faith. That's the first ingredient of the life which honors God and which pleases Him. And that has to do with salvation. Pistis is the Greek word. And it has to do with salvation. Faith is the foundation stone. Everything goes back to faith. Genuine faith, according to the Bible, clears our record with God. And it motivates us to give God His rightful place right at the very center of our lives. When we repent of sin, in the biblical sense of the term, and give God His rightful place at the very center of our lives, we become Christians. And in that moment, the Bible says, our record is cleared. We're cleansed. We're justified. We're declared righteous in the eyes of God. That's salvation. Then he mentions secondly. Here's the second ingredient that's essential to a life which honors God. Second, he mentions virtue. And that has to do with separation. Arete is the Greek word. And it's the word that has to do with separation. You know, in the simplest sense, this is the word which means excellence. Add to your faith excellence. Moral excellence is the idea. That means on a practical basis that we must learn to discern and turn from evil, as Jesus did. And simultaneously, we must learn to discover and adhere to all that is good. We must discern and turn from all that is evil. And we must discover and adhere to all that is good. And in so doing, we become virtuous. That's the second ingredient. Thirdly, he says you need knowledge. Knowledge is gnosis, it's the Greek word. And it has to do with sound judgment. Salvation, separation, and sound judgment. This is a word which does not refer to a profound conception of deep philosophical or theological matters. It doesn't describe that at all. Not all of us are cut out to be philosophers. It's the word which has to do with an understanding of basic Bible truths. It's the simple word in the Greek language for knowledge. How much do we know of God's Word? How much time do we spend learning God's Word? And how much of what we have learned have we applied in our Christian experience? Peter says, you want to live a life that's honoring to God? One, you need faith, that's salvation. Two, you need virtue, that's separation. Three, you need knowledge, that's sound judgment, sagacity, based on the Word of God, the Scriptures alone. Number four, what you need is temperance. Number four, there's temperance, and that means self-control. It's an interesting word. Egkrateia is the Greek word. It's an interesting word. Peter's word means literally the ability to get a grip of oneself. The ability to get a grip of oneself. Have you ever met anybody that doesn't have the ability to get a grip of themselves? That's what that word means, temperance. The ability to get a grip of oneself. It relates to a man and his passions. I think Peter had in mind the mold of thought in his world, the first century. The Greeks defined four states in life, so far as a man's passions were concerned. This whole concept of temperance has to do with a man's passions, his lusts and his appetites. And the Greeks defined four states in life so far as a man's passions are concerned. And I believe that Peter had these in his mind when he wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. One, there was cold intellectualism. Sophrosune was the Greek word. Cold intellectualism, in which passion was entirely subjugated to reason. The man was coldly intellectual, and there was no passion, no warmth, no dynamic. There's some good qualities in that, but there's some problems with it as well. And then there was what was called by the Greeks unbridled lust. Akalasia was the Greek word. It was just the opposite. Reason was entirely subjugated to passion. Wild-eyed, unbridled lust. And then the Greeks said there was a third state in life with relate to a man's passions. Not only cold intellectualism, not only unbridled lust, but there was what they called incontinence. Akrasia was the Greek word, in which reason fights, but it loses, and passion prevails. Reason cannot control the passions. Incontinence. And then the fourth state is the word that Peter uses right here. Egkrateia is the Greek word, and it's temperance. And that is the state in which reason resists the passions and reason prevails. It spoke of self-control or self-mastery, and that is God's ideal. Peter says the Christian ethic does not contemplate a situation in which a man is emasculated of all passion. He does have a certain emotional, moral dynamic. Through the indwelling Christ, who provides him great power, and the inspired Word of God, which is a great tool against Satan in his hand, through the indwelling Christ and the inspired Word, the Christian faith provides for a situation in which his passions remain, but they are under perfect control, so that our emotions and our passions become not tyrants, but servants, not our masters, not those that we serve, but our servants, those that serve us. Temperance means refusing to give way to the rationalizations and the behavioral patterns of the fallen nature. Peter says, do you want to equip yourself to live a noble life and a life that is pleasing to God and that honors God and that glorifies God? Then you need to learn self-control. And there's only one faith on the face of the globe that can give you the capacity to control your fallen self. There's only one source of moral and spiritual dynamic that will enable you to conquer yourself, your own inner space as well as outer space. And that power is that which is released through Jesus Christ and through the Christian faith. As Jesus Christ takes up residence within you, and as you learn to utilize the tool of God's Word, you have victory over self in your Christian experience. That's a fourth ingredient. Then number five, you need patience, Peter says. That has to do with steadfastness. I've got to hurry now, and I'm going to try. Hupomone is the Greek word, steadfastness. Peter's word, patience. Isn't this what we all need? It's when we get to this level that we've quit preaching and gone to meddling, isn't it? When we get to this issue of patience. Peter's word, patience, describes the temper of mind which is unmoved by difficulties and distresses. That's literally what it means. It's unmoved. It abides under. It doesn't run away. It's unmoved by difficulties and distress. Peter's word describes the attitude of the man who does not run away to some place which is easier. Here's a man trying to serve God, and all of a sudden there comes this pressure, and he's tempted to throw off this load and run away to some place where it's easier. God says, you never do that. You never do that. If you want to live a life that's honoring to God, you want to live a life that's pleasing to God, that glorifies God, then reduplicate in your life the steadfastness of Jesus Christ and stay right where you're at. The maturing Christian does not give up. He does not give in. His Christianity is like the steady shining of a star rather than the fading brilliance of a meteor. True faith, Peter says, endures. It remains steadfast in the harshest of conditions and in the hottest of circumstances. That's literally what that word patience means. He does not burn out. He does not fade out. He does not slip out. He's always steady. He's ready to stand alone. He's always there. He's always dependable. That's what the word patience means. Beautiful word. Hupomone. Every Christian who is adding to his faith virtue and knowledge and temperance. Every Christian who is adding to his faith those precious qualities can expect to be misunderstood in a fallen world. He can expect to be misrepresented, resisted, and even despised, because his life will be a stinging rebuke to those who are around him. How should he respond when he's misunderstood, when he's misrepresented, when he is resisted and despised because his life is a stinging rebuke? How should he respond? Peter says when his suffering comes, he must be prepared to stay put. He must be prepared to refuse to throw off the load and run away. He must be prepared to do so with courageous, optimistic, hopeful fortitude. For that's the very meaning of the word hupomone. It never describes stoic acceptance of the so-called accidents of blind fate. It is the courageous acceptance of everything that life can do to us. I've met people like this, so have you. The courageous acceptance of everything that life can do to us, and it is the transmuting of even the worst event into another step on the upward way. You know, only the Christian faith, only Jesus Christ can enable a man to do that.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
We live in a push-button age, instant everything, but not so with godliness. There are no shortcuts to godliness.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.